Good evening. This is Paul Kelly, and I'm your host on today's Speak Up Arkansas. You know, we've been hearing a lot about natural disasters with hurricanes and earthquakes, and we thought that this might be a good time with our attention maybe dwelling on this about the need for emergency preparedness and what's being done and what are the risks in Arkansas. So today's Speak Up Arkansas is going to be talking about emergency management, the issues that are important in Arkansas. And with us in the studio today is somebody who knows a lot about this, who actually, I think, maybe stays up at night sometime thinking about all the bad things that could happen. But at least she's there trying to prepare us all for it. And that's Melody Daniel. She is with the Arkansas Department of Emergency Management. She's the Deputy Public Information Officer. Melody, thank you very much for being here today.
Thank you. Thank you, Paul, for having me.
Yes, I do think, and we hope that this show will generate a lot of questions from you all. Melody is a real good resource of information, and she brought her computer in case you have a question she can't ask. What she doesn't know, she knows probably is on the computer, and she can find it for you quicker than I could. So please feel free to give us a call at 501-433-0088. That's 501-433-0088. And for shy persons who don't want their voice on the radio, you can send an email to speakupar@gmail.com. That's speakupar@gmail.com. All right, Melody, we'll get the conversation started, and hopefully some folks will be chiming in, because I'm sure they have a lot of questions just like I do. I do think it's important first that could you give us sort of a summary of what the Department of Emergency Management's purpose and goals and responsibilities are?
Sure. That's probably a question that I get asked more often than any other question in my role. You can sum it up very simply by saying that we're the state's homeland security and preparedness agency, but we do quite a bit more than that. We actually have a pretty broad role in the state, and that goes anywhere from when conditions aren't disaster related. You know, we have normal things that we do where we're planning, where we're working on mitigation plans, we're working with counties to see what we can do to improve their preparedness. But we also, during times of disaster, help facilitate resource requests and get the right resources to the right people. We kind of have a bird's eye view of what's going on at the local level when there's an emergency or a disaster.
Okay. How does an emergency reach a level that you all become involved?
We have a saying that we use in emergency management, and that is all disasters are local. Everything begins at the smallest level. It begins at the city, the county, the state level, and goes from there. So once a disaster gets to the point where it's exceeded the capacity of the local level to handle that disaster, they're going to start asking. So if a city has an emergency or disaster and they've exceeded their ability to take care of that situation, they're going to ask for help from the county. If the county gets to a point where they have exceeded their ability, they're going to ask for help from the state. And then, of course, if we exceed our ability as a state to take care of a disaster, we're going to ask for federal assistance.
Uh-huh. All right. Well, I know that none of this preparedness and all this work involves a lot of important partners and allies and even people who provide sources of information that are working to help plan and respond during an emergency. What are some of those partners and their role with you all?
It's going to sound a little cliche, but all of them. We never really know which agency partners are going to work with us most or more frequently. We're going to kind of go two ways with this. One way is that we have emergency support functions. We have 15 emergency support functions in the state of Arkansas for emergency management. And those are things like transportation, external affairs, public works, your utilities and electric and whatnot. So most of those emergency support functions, we call them ESFs, they tend to have a state agency that's the lead role in that. So that includes people like the Department of Environmental Quality, the Department of Health, the Department of Human Services, Department of Transportation, Arkansas State Police. Those are some of our primary ESF partners. However, we also have other partners that more often than not end up playing a really large role in a disaster, and that's everything from local law enforcement and first responders, local EMS, community emergency response teams, voluntary organizations such as the Red Cross or the Salvation Army. Those are all partners that work for us. We, our director has been with us a little over a year now, and he's very quick to mention, and I think it's very important, that when he got here, he didn't realize how many partners emergency management actually had, because it seems that we have the ability in any situation to have the potential to work with any agency.
All right. Now, I'm sure hospitals are involved in that, in the health department and all of those.
Absolutely. Okay. We've got a good public-private sector partnership as well. So some of that goes with some of the private hospitals and some of the public hospitals. And then, of course, businesses as well are included in that. Our partner list would keep us here for the whole hour without getting to the really excited preparedness stuff.
Uh-huh. Okay. Well, what are really, since natural disaster emergencies are sort of what's on people's mind now, what are the most likely natural emergencies to happen in Arkansas?
Well, it's no big surprise that we get a lot of severe thunderstorms around here, that we get a lot of flooding from time to time, that we have tornadoes here, that we're prone to ice storms. One of the things that people aren't too familiar about is that Northeast Arkansas lies on a major fault line, so we also have the potential for a major earthquake here. The most common and most frequent disaster in Arkansas is flooding. The majority of our disasters involve flooding in some way, shape, or form.
All right, and I would imagine then that it's, I guess for Arkansas, it's a bit good that we're inland a bit, because most of those systems develop over the ocean where there's a lot of water and buildup of that. But is that really kind of what's happening, is the fallout from huge storms that may have real big repercussions first on the coast before it reaches us?
Possibly, especially in light of everything that's been going on with hurricane season here. And I'm glad you asked that. One of our partners that I failed to mention earlier, and I hope they're not listening and mad at me, is the National Weather Service.
Right.
So I like to joke with them a lot. I work with them very closely. And I joke with them that I'm a couple of years away from my degree in meteorology. All of them. All of the years.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, we've talked about it a lot during hurricane season here, and we've been very fortunate in Arkansas. A lot of times you'll see storms go through the Gulf and move right through Arkansas and give us a big, heavy period of rain. We really haven't experienced much of that in central Arkansas with any of the recent strong hurricanes in the Gulf. South Arkansas and southeast Arkansas got a little bit of that. But if you'll recall, back in the spring, back in April and May, it was rainfall that was going across mid-America that caused the flooding disaster that we had earlier this year. And that was almost the reverse effect of what you asked. That was kind of a downhill trend. Rivers in Missouri began cresting and exceeding their capacity to hold water in the river. And so as it continued south, the flooding continued as well. So that, in conjunction with a lot of normal rain that you see in the springtime, is what caused a major flooding disaster for Arkansas earlier this year.
And I know that the flooding, I looked up a lot about that, and the most notable was in 1927 and 37, flooding that flowing from storms in the Gulf of Mexico. And anyway, that is, and I remember the, but I think what you're talking about too is something like the Little Missouri River flood at the Albert Pike Recreation Area, that where there was a loss of life, and with steep terrain and that sort of thing, being at the bottom of a steep place. Is there any thought, or I know there is a, where are the flood-prone pieces of land in the state of Arkansas?
Well, one thing that I want to caution everyone on is not to become complacent with flooding. Flooding can occur anywhere in Arkansas, between flash flooding and river flooding. You know, you mentioned Albert Pike. I remember that situation very vividly. And it's part of what, when I talk to people about flooding, it's part of the preparedness talk that I get. It's always first and foremost on my mind. Know where you are, know where you're going, know what the terrain looks like, know what the weather might be, and know how to get out. So the same situation kind of applies with what you're asking with what are the flood-prone areas. Again, disasters and emergencies are local. Each individual can go to their county offices and check out the floodplain map for that area. If you're in a floodplain, there is a greater likelihood that you're going to see the potential for flooding. It doesn't mean that you will flood, and it doesn't mean that you won't if you're not in a floodplain. Mm-hmm. It just means that you need to take that information, be aware of it, and kind of steer your preparedness plan in that direction, knowing that you're at a little bit higher potential for that type of disaster.
I would assume that if you live in a place and you notice that when there's a pretty heavy rain that there's a lot of water accumulating in certain areas, and you might imagine 10 times that much and think about what impact that might have. Would that be a good sort of way of trying to assess your risk of being subject to flood?
Absolutely. I tend to tell people, think about what is the worst thing, the absolute worst thing that could happen. You know, think about your hazards, think about how bad it could be, what's the likelihood, the risk that that might occur, and plan for that worst case scenario. That way, if the emergency or disaster that affects you or your home happens and it's only a quarter of as bad as you thought it was going to be, you're prepared. You've already started leaning in the right direction.
Do you know, I know, and this is one of the comments made by this source for flooding in Arkansas, it talked about the problem with flood disasters has resulted from the corruption of natural ecosystems and encroaching development on floodplains. Arkansas is sort of a floodplain, sounds like an eastern Arkansas problem, and the bottom of a hill of a surge of water sounds like the rest of the states concerned. Do you know, do y'all do anything looking at where development is occurring in areas that might be prone to flooding, or is that out kind of outside of your purview?
It's definitely outside of our purview. We do have some people that are very familiar with floodplain management and land management in our agency. However, they don't do that on behalf of the agency. Again, those are good questions for the county officials, because floodplain issues, you know, you're going to see a little bit more of them in lower flat areas. However, every county is going to have areas that are susceptible to flooding, regardless of severe differences in elevation between eastern Arkansas and western Arkansas. Again, flooding can happen to anyone, anywhere. It could happen to someone in a desert environment. It's not very likely, but I don't want to rule it out just yet.
All right. So I guess if you're trying to get nervous about natural disasters in Arkansas, the first place you ought to rule out or contemplate is where a flood may occur. Again, this is a live broadcast. You can give us a call here. Melody, Daniel, and I are here to entertain and answer any questions that you have. You can call us at 501-433-0088 or email us at speakupar@gmail.com. I want to talk about what I think is the one that I think most about, because I've been closer to these incidents than about anything else, and that is tornadoes. The information I have on tornadoes for Arkansas is that the Arkansas averages 26 tornadoes per year, resulting in an average of 6 fatalities. Counties in high-risk tornado areas include Faulkner County, Pulaski County, and Conway County. The largest tornado on record occurred in 52. It was measuring 4 on the scale. So the yearly average of tornadoes being 26 that's a lot of tornadoes, and I know all of them don't touch down, but that's something that I'd like for you to discuss in terms of preparedness. And is that a legitimate conclusion from this source? I don't have it on the bottom of the this paper, but it was something I looked up on the internet, and I think it was something called Our Home Data. But how did that sound to you?
It doesn't sound terribly off base, and I'll look it up here in a second. National Weather Service Little Rock has a long historical list of tornadoes by year. That's usually where I go. They also have some really interesting facts and figures about specific tornadoes, some of which people know about. You know, the Mayflower Valonia tornadoes, definitely those are familiar tornadoes. The tornado that started in Atkins and or went through Atkins and ended in Clinton on the Super Tuesday tornado day back in 2008, I believe. But they have a really good up-to-date list showing just about that thing. One thing I can tell you in my work with the National Weather Service is that I love to see the trends from year to year with tornadoes. Some years you'll only have a handful, and then the next year you'll have a couple of more, and it's interesting that it comes out to that high of an average.
Yeah. Well, and I think those are, I guess in most people's cases, a little hard to put a finger on predicting when they're going to pop up and pop down or move over or which path they're going to take. I mean, there's all kinds of folklore out there that I have heard that I don't really pay any attention to. I just know that, you know, if an area has been hit by a tornado, does that increase the chance that it may occur again because of its geographic place and just the way tornadoes form?
Geography definitely plays a small role in it. Again, the meteorologist folks are certainly the experts on this. One thing we do know, as you mentioned, is tornadoes are unpredictable. You don't really know where they're going and where they're going to pop up. In recent years, meteorology technology has gotten significantly better, so there are conditions that you know weather forecasters notice, you know, a couple of days out, hey, this could, if it continues, develop into something that could produce a tornado. Another thing that's really important with tornadoes is for people to understand the difference between a watch and a warning. You know, a watch is something that could happen, and a warning is the conditions are very favorable or it is occurring right now. The likelihood is that it's going to happen right then. You'll see watches go for several hours at a time, but a warning is going to be for a smaller, more specific period of time.
Right.
It's very important to heed those warnings because, as you said, we don't know exactly where they're going to pop up.
Right. That's when the sirens go on, right?
That, again, varies from county to county, so that's another thing that I strongly recommend any Arkansan to contact their county and discuss with them what the outdoor warning procedures are for in their area. It varies way too much for us to get into on this show. Each county has a different policy for activation. Some activate for an entire county, some only activate for an area. So that's really a county specific question. And each county has a local emergency management office as well. So that's a great resource for anyone that's looking to learn more about disaster preparedness in their area that's specific to their county.
Well, let's talk about then just individual preparedness or maybe house preparedness or how, what advice do you give to people who, well, let's talk about those who live in listed in this, including Pulaski County, that live in a county where there appears to be a frequency of tornadoes. What kind of individual advice do you give on that? I mean, I know my thought is to go to a place away from windows that is internal in your house, the innermost. So if it's a closet in the interior of your house that's away from windows, and that or a bathtub, which usually doesn't, bathrooms a lot of times don't have windows, but to gather there. What other, tell me what you know about that.
I went to a preparedness fair in Rogers last weekend up in Northwest Arkansas. They had two local forecasters, and they each spoke on tornado preparedness, tornado safety, and I sat through both of their presentations because I was really interested to see what they would say that was the same and what they would say that was different. And they were almost 100% the same on what to do. So you mentioned go to an interior room of your house. Absolutely, that's what you want to do. I really liked the way that one of the forecasters up in Northwest Arkansas worded the safety precautions. They said, you know, you've got to do the best you can with what you've got. If you have an internal room, go there. And then he was also very realistic with them. He said, you know, sometimes we'll go out and we'll look at tornado damage and we'll see that there's something in the middle of a house that made it, you know, some walls, some sheetrock or something. That would have been a good place to go. But you also have to understand that sometimes a house may be completely flattened. So again, you've got to do the best you can with what you have. So an internal room, if you want to take something in to cover yourself up with, some couch cushions or a mattress, if it's feasible, that's a good idea as well.
All right. A bathtub?
I am going to tell you right now that speaking for Melody Daniel, not necessarily for Adam, if it occurs at my house, I will be in the bathtub with couch cushions on top of me at my house. That is my go-to spot. It's in the center of my home. It's downstairs. It is the safest spot for me to be if a tornado occurs.
What about having windows opened or closed? I've heard different things about that, or even the doors open and closed.
There's a lot of different theories on that, and it's probably not a good idea for me as Adam to go to talking about it. I will say that both meteorologists kind of made mention of that. That gets a lot into physics, and even though I love physics, I don't want to be here boring everyone all day. That's really a good question. Go look at National Weather Service, see what they're doing. They have some really good graphics and some videos that you can watch that show the difference between having windows open and having windows closed, and then the reverse of each of them. It's important to remember that no disaster is the same as the last one. No two floods are the same. No two tornadoes are the same. No two earthquakes are the same. No two thunderstorms are the same. So it's really hard to say specifically, yes, open your windows, or no, don't. And I think NWS Little Rock definitely has a couple of those graphics that show videos of what may or may not happen. And yeah. I love graphics. I love videos. So.
Okay. Well, again, we're expecting our audience out there. I mean, have you ever been? I mean, I've been very close to tornadoes. I've had a house damaged by one, by a downed tree. And I live in an area where tornadoes have come through in the past, and a lot of my neighbors have those underground things. I guess those are the best thing to have if you can get to them in time. And or is there any, are those ever recommended, or, I mean...
It goes back to talking about what the forecaster in Northwest Arkansas said, and I feel like he kind of plagiarized me, but he spoke before I did. Do the best you can with what you've got. So if you have the means and ability to have a storm shelter at your home, then yes, they've been shown in the past to protect people, and that's just one of the protective measures you can take. Several communities in Arkansas have gone the direction of having community storm shelters. Again, that's a community-to-community thing that varies. So you need to know what you have in your community and where it is. And again, you mentioned it. You hit the nail on the head. If it's safe to get there, go. If your storm shelter is outdoors and you can see the tornado and your bathtub is closer, that might be your best bet. Right. You don't want to go outside in the middle of a tornado and have debris come flying out and hit you. Yeah, there are hazards in everyday life. What's important is to focus on what's going on and make sure you don't make a bad situation worse by trying to get somewhere.
Okay. Well, let's talk then now, and you mentioned this earlier, and that is the earthquakes. And the information I have on that there are 687 earthquake incidents in Arkansas on record since 1931. The state averages 8 earthquakes per year. The largest earthquake on record for Arkansas occurred in 1976 at a depth of 15 miles and a magnitude of 4.9 on the Richter scale. The counties with the highest rate, I think that is Craighead County, Poinsett County, and Randolph County, I think is was, I have that written down somewhere, or at least I've looked at it enough time. I think that's what the answer to that was. And those are like, you know, up in the Mississippi County area, that may be one of the ones that's very close to the center of the fault line up there. So talk about that for a little bit.
Kind of going back to planning, and you know, I mentioned we plan for the absolute worst case scenario. So the worst case scenario, earthquake wise for Arkansas, would be a major earthquake on the New Madrid seismic zone. All of those counties that you mentioned are part of the 19 counties that we at Adam believe would be the most affected, the hardest hit counties from an earthquake like that. We use historical data to the best of our ability from the 1811-1812 New Madrid earthquakes that were very destructive, aftershocks going all the way into 1812. And so a lot of our earthquake scenarios involve a magnitude 7.0 or greater earthquake. Because again, if you practice for that worst case scenario earthquake and you get a magnitude 3.0 earthquake, you're a little better prepared for what you're going to have. Earthquake preparedness is not something that a lot of Arkansans really focus on. I notice when I go out and speak to people, even people that live near the New Madrid seismic zone that could very well be affected by a major earthquake on that, I get a lot of deer in the headlight looks sometimes, or sometimes a, ugh, you know, that's a California problem. That's out there on the West Coast where all those, that's a, you know, no, you got to be close to the ocean. That's not true. As you mentioned, earthquakes can occur anywhere in the state of Arkansas. And there was one up in the northwest area back in mid-June. And I remember it because it was the Sunday before we had an earthquake drill. And the gentleman from the Arkansas Geological Survey and I had a really good laugh about him ordering that one up before our exercise. Luckily, it was a very low magnitude. It was something that was easily recoverable for the people in that area. But again, you can't dismiss any threat in your area. You just have to know what's more prevalent. So Northeast Arkansas, folks that are near the New Madrid seismic zone or in one of the counties that is more prone to earthquake activity, they need to kind of prepare themselves in that way. Earthquake Awareness Month is in February, but next month in October is the Great Central United States Shakeout, and that's an earthquake awareness drill. Every year, we really try to get up in Northeast Arkansas and get the awareness out. Again, that's where the biggest probability for the most likely catastrophic earthquake is going to occur. So we do billboards telling people drop, cover, and hold on. Earthquake, if one is occurring, you want to drop to the ground, get under something sturdy, and hold on to it. And so when I say something sturdy, if you'll recall back in the day, for lack of a better term, they would tell people to go stand in a doorway. Well, we've kind of shifted away from that. We want people to find sturdy furniture, perhaps a heavy table or something that they can get on and hold on to. I'm by no means an earthquake expert. However, research indicates that that's a little bit safer of a way. Prior to an earthquake, you can do things that people in more earthquake-prone areas do. Make sure that belongings on shelves are a little more secure. Kind of pay attention to things around your home. Are valuables in places where they could shake off and hit you? You know, do you have something heavy on a top shelf that could potentially hit someone on the head if it fell off? These are things that I look at when I'm going through my home on a daily basis. I get it. I'm an emergency management and preparedness nerd. I don't expect everyone to go around and look for these hazards in their home, but I do. I'm also accident prone, so that explains my other side of it.
And you talked about how this is really could be a catastrophic kind of event because I guess it's I've often heard that it's past due for something that is to happen because, I mean, where are all these other earthquakes? Are they all part of this? Do you know their locations?
I know that some of them have happened in Conway County. The one that I mentioned that happened in June, I believe it was up just north of Beaver Lake, if I'm not mistaken. The Arkansas Geological Survey, again, one of our partners that I failed to mention earlier because we have so many of them, If you go to their website, they actually map all of the locations that an earthquake occurs in Arkansas. So you can get a real good visual image there of where all the earthquakes happened. You can hover over them and get information on them. Also, if you feel an earthquake, you can go to AGS, Arkansas Geological Survey's website, and report it. I think there's a button there. If I'm not mistaken, it says, did you feel it? And you click there and report what you felt, and they'll look into it and determine if perhaps it was or was not an earthquake. So again, not a lot of rhyme or reason, and by no means am I the expert. So they occur, and they occur across the state.
Okay. Again, you're listening to Speak Up Arkansas. This is a live broadcast. I have in the studio with me Melody Daniel, who is the Deputy Public Information Officer at the Arkansas Department of Emergency Management. We're here to talk about being prepared for emergencies and all the things that need to be done to prevent or survive these kinds of issues. We encourage you to give us a call. If you have a question, you can call us right now at 501-433-0088, or you can send a text with a question, not a text, but an email. I guess you could text. You can text me at 501-414-6335. You can't do it driving, but or you can email at speakupar@gmail.com. We're going to take a short break and we'll be right back to you. And thank you for listening. We'll be back in just a few minutes. Thank you.
Keep that smile on my face. that's okay. Yeah, I'm gonna make my world a better place. I'm gonna keep that smile on my face. I'm gonna teach myself how to understand. I'm gonna make myself a better man. Well, I'm gonna make my world a better place. I'm gonna keep that
smile. All right. We're going to try to make the world a better place and safer, and spread some information out about how to be ready for and prepared for potential emergency situations. We've been talking about flooding, tornadoes, earthquakes, and again, in the studio with us today is Melody Daniel. With the Arkansas Department of Emergency Management. She's the public information officer there. And we ended a bit of this with talking about earthquakes. And I think you made the point that there are all these earthquakes. There's really, they're happening all over the state, but that really focusing in on what it some counties. Do you want to make any more comment about that?
Well, not necessarily. I really want to beat the dead horse there that you can't just say it's one area. We've done a lot of talking about Northeast Arkansas and the New Madrid seismic zone, but while we were on the break, I went ahead and pulled up on my computer. I pulled up the Arkansas Geological Survey's website and I pulled up their earthquake map. And there are just a cluster of earthquakes that are in the general vicinity of where I was talking about earlier. Also, for anyone that knows me personally, you might want to pay attention here. I was wrong. It was not Beaver Lake. It was Bull Shoals Lake. So for the friends of mine that have been waiting years for me to admit that I was wrong, that was your chance.
Okay. Well, hopefully all your friends are listening and have forgiven you. But I wanted to, one of the things that interests me when I started thinking about that is that there's been a lot of complaints or talk about the National Flood Insurance Program. And I know that NPR and Frontline spent years investigating the business of disaster and uncovered a complex system in which private companies profit and homeowners and clients suffer. At the center of that system is, of course, a national flood insurance program designed to help in disasters. But almost everybody with a mortgage who lives near water pays for flood insurance through the program. So more than 3 years later, most residents expected the residents there expected to be back home, and sooner than they did. FEMA pays private insurance a percentage of all premiums paid, plus additional fees for handling claims, appraisals, and other services. And insurers' financial disclosures reveal a substantial profit margin for these services. For example, between 2011 and 2014, FEMA payments were $809 million for expenses and $327 million profit for agencies. In 2011, for example, it was $660 million with $365. The most prolific one was in 2013, where they paid out $910 million, and they didn't make as much profit. It was only $406 million. So, when they talked to the insurance company, what they said, it's always going to be the case in the event of a major catastrophic loss where hundreds of thousands of people will have seen damage or complete destruction of their property. In some instances, they will believe they are due more when in fact than the claim was ultimately adjusted for. And so, of course, he blames the president of the Insurance Information Institute says the federal government determines what the appropriate payment is. But anyway, it obviously needs fixing. I don't know if you had any thoughts about that program.
Well, as a state government employee, I'm obviously going to tread very lightly on things that are highly opinionated and controversial. I do want to point something out that I meant to say earlier when you asked what Adam's roles and responsibilities are for the state. A lot of times people think we're state FEMA. We are not state FEMA. We work with FEMA, especially on federal disasters. So one thing that I want to point out with specific regards to flood insurance is that a lot of times when there's a disaster and it becomes a federally declared disaster, once it's federally declared, FEMA's going to come in, and that allows homeowners to say, hey, I had some damage. Can you come take a look at this for me? So some people consider that FEMA insurance. What FEMA is doing with their assistance when they come in on a federal disaster, such as these floods we had back in April and May, is they are making sure that the homeowner or renter is able to continue living. They are going to replace things that are required for the quality of life. If all beds in your home are destroyed, they are going to make sure you have a bed to sleep in. They're going to make sure that you have funds that could purchase a refrigerator for you to keep food from spoiling in. So basic needs of life is what FEMA is focusing on. The maximum FEMA payout that someone could get from a federal disaster is actually lower than the average payout for a flood insurance claim. So what you would be thinking about there is that you may have had disaster things that occurred, but you're still not going to be able to take care of all of your losses. I personally strongly encourage anyone, if it's financially feasible for them, to carry flood insurance just for that reason. A couple of inches of water can do substantial damage to a home. It can damage sheetrock. It can damage the insulation behind it. It can mess with your floors. A lot of complaints that we get from citizens are, well, my very expensive kitchen has now been destroyed. What are you going to do about it? Well, we're going to help you as best we can within our abilities and see what we can and cannot help you with. But a lot of people assume that once that FEMA assistance comes in, everything will be replaced, and that's not always the case. They're there to replace the necessities for life. A really good friend of mine that works for FEMA explained it very well. She said, you know, FEMA's the life jacket, but your insurance policy is most of the time the lifeboat that's okay. Going to get you the rest of the way you need to go.
All right. And there, that kind of insurance is available in Arkansas?
Flood insurance?
Yeah.
Absolutely. Part of the NFIP that that gets confusing sometimes is people think that it's a federal program. NFIP has an arrangement with Travis Insurance.
What's NFIP mean?
It's the National Flood Insurance Program you were mentioning earlier. They have an arrangement with private insurance companies where the insurance company can sell the policy to you. The other confusing part about it is some verbiage that's in there. And again, we're going to steer clear of the controversy here, but there's some verbiage in there that says something to the effect of the flood insurance must be federally approved or regulated, for lack of a better term. Well, that's the same thing that I just said, but it kind of gets misconstrued sometimes. The National Flood Insurance Program has worked with private insurance companies. I have flood insurance on my home, and I use State Farm here in Little Rock. So,
okay. Well, we've only got about 15 minutes left. Callers, you're welcome to give a call. All you out there, maybe if we were under some severe weather warning, you might get a call right now. It's pretty nice outside, and
it's gorgeous.
It seems to
outside
be everybody
today.
Else's issue in other parts of the state, country, and the world. So. It's not on our list right now, but if you've ever thought about that, but I think also there's any kind of disaster that could come up. Just if you're a disaster-prone person and you want to be ready for anything, what do you carry in your car or your purse or have handy to grab onto if you ever have to run for cover?
Me personally, I am very seldom more than an arm's reach away from water. I am 100% addicted to water. I love it. Most of the time when I'm leaving my home, especially if I know I'm going to be traveling for an hour or so, I try to take a snack with me. I don't miss many meals, so it's very important for me to have food close by as well. One thing that we really harp on, especially on beautiful days like today, is that there is never a wrong time, nor is it too late to become more prepared. So it is times like these that I encourage people to work on their disaster preparedness kits. As you mentioned, what do you have in your car that could help you if a situation that you're not expecting occurs? Do you have a flashlight in your vehicle? Do you have, if it's winter weather months, do you have a blanket just in case you have car trouble and you're stuck out there for a little bit and it's chilly? Do you have that water with you? Do you have some non-perishable food, perhaps some trail mix or a little bit of peanut butter or a package of crackers, just something simple like that? Those are really small steps that Arkansans can take to move forward in their preparedness.
All right. What about you out there listening, audience? What do you do to prepare for things or any other questions you might have about this? Again, you can give us a call, 501-433-0088, and we'd be glad to take your questions or comments. All you emergency fanatics, Melody isn't the only one out there, so if you have something you'd like to talk about, do that. Give us a call, 501-433-0088, or email me at speakupar@gmail.com. All right. Do you all, what outside of natural disasters, I mean, what about, you called yourself the Homeland Security of Arkansas. Do you y'all think about terrorists or violent acts and things like that? Is that part of y'all's discussion about stuff?
Absolutely. Preparedness is a very broad topic, and obviously natural disasters are going to be what people think about most, but there are man-made disasters and emergencies as well. Of course, you mentioned the worst-case scenario, a terrorist incident or a mass shooting or mass casualty event. Those are things that cross our mind frequently at ADAM. We definitely do the best we can to be as prepared for every situation, to have a plan for it, and to work with our local partners to make sure that they know what they could have available to them in that type of situation, or maybe what they need to plan for. There are, in some areas of the country, there are places where farmers and their crops are vulnerable to not necessarily terrorist activity, but it's called agri-terrorism, so you could have someone that maybe tries to contaminate food that's going to be shipped to other parts of the country. Those are things that we think about as well. Of course, that's a little more in the Department of Agriculture's purview, but that would be something that could cause a massive disease outbreak, and we, in that case, could very well be working closely with the Department of Health to help that massive disease outbreak be contained and eventually resolved.
And speaking of farmers, I think in our phone conversation one time, I talked about floods impacting farmland a lot and how many that was noted in some of the more drastic floods in Arkansas. And how do they address that? I mean, who steps in to help recoup or augment the problems that they may have with some crop damage?
Agriculture damage, I'm glad you asked that question. We were asked that question quite a bit back in the April and May floods. Agriculture damage is not something that ADAM takes care of. That's the Arkansas Department of Agriculture. Each county also has an agriculture co-op office. So for farmers that are experiencing losses from natural disasters, that needs to be their first stop in their recovery process, is to go to that co-op area, talk with the subject matter experts there, and continue to work with the Department of Agriculture to recover from their emergency or disaster situation.
All right. All right.
You know, I'm starting to think that maybe everyone out there listening to us is just so riveted by preparedness today that they that they don't want to interrupt and call, and I completely understand that. So,
well, I said if we didn't get calls, I'd get to know you, Betty, better. So tell me about how did you come to take on this position?
I've had a really interesting and varied professional background. And my educational background is I have a degree in Homeland Security. So I got to thinking, you know, I think I'm going to give Adam a shot and see what the state's Homeland Security and Preparedness Agency does. I applied for this job. I actually did not know that this was a public information officer job, but luckily my primary roles with that are education and outreach to the public. I have always enjoyed reaching out to people and seeing if I can impart knowledge to them, if maybe they can impart knowledge to me, if perhaps each of us have different tools in our toolbox and we can share those and kind of form a teamwork thing. So this job was actually just a very lucky blessing that came almost out of nowhere. And I absolutely love what I do. I love what I can do to help Arkansans in the state. I love helping people become more prepared. I love opening people's eyes to maybe some types of disasters or emergencies that they haven't thought of. And, you know, just getting people to think a little better. What can I do to be better prepared? What can I do to help my neighbors? What can I do to help my family? What nerdy fun fact can I tell someone that they'll go tell their friends next door? So this job has really just been fantastic. I've been with the agency for about a year and a half, and every day I get to do something different. I think that is probably the best part of my job.
Well, where do you get a degree in Homeland Security?
I decided to do it a little bit on the non-traditional path. I attended an online university. It's called American Military University. I just really enjoyed their school there, and I started enjoying the courses. To be honest with you, when I was looking at their degree plans, I had no idea until I was looking at them that you could obtain a degree in Homeland Security. And I thought, you know what? That sounds really cool. I think I'll give it a shot.
All right. So you're probably a good person to hang out with to be sure if you're worried about being able to predict some chaotic, crazy thing that might happen to you. You're the person to be around when something doesn't sound right, look right, or feel right, and know what to do with it, huh?
Yeah, you might be able to say that, but if I have a downfall in that aspect, it's that I'm also a very creative person, so I can make up additional threats to go with that something doesn't smell the sniff test thing. My husband's probably listening to this, so he'll laugh anyway. He jokes when we're out in public, unfortunately, that I watch a lot of Investigation Discovery. You know, she can come up with all these scenarios that might happen. Well, hey, all these shows are based on real life events. I don't care if it happened once. It happened. So I kind of think about those things going through my daily life. But don't think of it as doom or gloom all the time as well. I also think about things that I can do on beautiful days like this. I can go out and take a walk and enjoy some fresh air, or maybe go get a bite to eat with friends. So it's not just preparing for the bad things. You can prepare for the good things as well.
Are the people who work in this field, are they believers in the theory of climate change?
I think that would probably vary from person to person. One thing that I was very surprised about when I began working at Adam was we have a very broad, diverse background, even with our small agency. We have a very small agency. One might think that the majority of our people are former law enforcement or former EMT, or they have a Homeland Security degree or an emergency management degree, and many of them do. But we also have some people that have biology degrees and chemistry degrees. I believe we have a couple of people that have master's degrees in psychology. So when I go back to talking about those tools in the toolbox, I don't think that there are any two people at Adam that have the exact same belief systems and fit in that same box. And that's what makes us so wonderful as an agency, is that we have such a broad range of backgrounds with our personnel. And that really helps us all come together when there's a disaster or emergency event and work together so that we can find the right solution for Arkansas.
Yeah, well, that is a good thing. I think a very diverse kind of background means that nobody looks at a problem with the same kind of mindset or framework. I've always thought that the more varied a group, if you have a problem, you need a little bit of everything there to make sure that all the bases are covered. And because it's, you know, an education kind of puts you within a particular way of perceiving the world. So that's a good. That's a strength. That's the whole thing about the benefits of diversity in just about every sector of the world. But
sometimes a second set of eyes is all you need to really take care of a problem. And that just goes back to it. It takes all kinds of everyone. That second set of eyes, that one thing that happened in your background. I speak to college students quite a bit, and I tell them, you know, don't discount anything that you're learning in life right now. Don't discount any interaction you have with people. You never know when that one experience is what's going to solve the problem on down the road.
Well, I certainly appreciate, Melody, your sharing your knowledge and experience and time with us on Speak Up Arkansas. It's been delightful and informative, and I've learned a lot and have some things to think about. And I want to remind you that Speak Up Arkansas is every Wednesday at 5 o'clock. We are interested in hearing from our listeners on subjects that they would like to hear. If you will, if you have a topic you'd like for us to discuss on Speak Up Arkansas, and maybe even some thoughts about who you'd like to hear talk about it, or if you're an expert in something and would like to share it, email us at speakupar@gmail.com. That's speakupar@gmail.com. We are trying to provide information that's useful and helpful, and also you can give us feedback on anything you hear or any questions you might have, and I certainly appreciate you listening to the show. Next week is going to be a discussion about what is going on in Washington and the national budget that is being discussed and how it will impact the children and families of Arkansas. There's going to be a discussion, a broad discussion about it. We're also going to have a guest from the Hunger Relief Alliance and also the Disability Rights Arkansas, who are going to talk about how the upcoming federal budget will impact the people that they are working with. So, again, thank you for listening. We'll be back next week with another version of Speak Up Arkansas. This is KABF 88.3 FM, the voice of the people.
This is KABF in Little Rock, 88.3, the voice of the people in Central Arkansas. It's time for Radio Cows, a weekly program from the Central Arkansas Library System. Every Wednesday from 6 to 6:30 p.m. here on KABF 88.3 FM, we'll share with you conversations with interesting Arkansans on primary sources, Chewing the Fat with Rex and Paul, and much, much more. We invite you to let us know what else you want to hear by contacting us at radiocows@cows.org. This program is presented by the Butler Center for Arkansas Studies and the CALS Communications and Public Relations Department. For more information about Radio CALS, please visit the Butler Center's blog at butlercenter.org. Hello, and welcome to Primary Sources, a featured production of Radio CALS. Here on Primary Sources, we focus on people who are making a difference in Little